The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Gospel today explains a Gospel that we did not hear, but should have been read on Saturday, but was eclipsed because of the Feast of St. James, if you'll recall. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. And just in case you don't remember that parable, I'll give you a quick summary recap. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a field in which an owner went and cast good seed. But then, in the dead of night and under the cover of darkness, an enemy came by and he threw poisonous weeds into that field. After a few days, the attendants turned to the master and said, 'Lord, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where'd all these weeds come from? Do you want us to go out there and tear them all up?' And the master says, 'No, no, we'll wait. We'll wait until they're all grown. I'll divide the wheat from the weeds at the very end.'" Now, what's interesting about that is that that parable references a real crime punishable under Roman law because there was a kind of weed that today we call the bearded darnel. And ne'er-do-wells, under the cover of darkness in the dead of night, would throw these weeds into the fields of their enemies, and it was a dastardly crime because the wheat and the weeds would grow up intertwined with each other, such that you could not rip up one without ripping up the other. And even then, you weren't quite sure what to do, because the only way you could really tell the weeds and the wheat apart was at the very, very end, when the wheat blossomed into a beautiful golden brown, but the bearded darnel was a slate gray. Now, Jesus offers this parable, of course, and the explanation, because he knows we wonder. God, if you made such a good world, what went wrong? The world, which is supposed to be a sacrament of God's goodness, has been so scarred that many people look out at the world and they find it as a reason not to believe in God. And in his mysterious providence, he's allowed good and evil, saint and sinner, to exist and to grow side by side in the world and in the church. God has given evil a very, very long leash, hasn't he? And it causes us to wonder. We say, "Lord, why?" He knows we're asking why, and for that reason, he provides this parable. Now, whenever you try to fathom the reasons as to why God does anything, please understand, the reasons are infinite. You will not, in eternity, fully exhaust all the reasons why God has done so much as raise his small finger, much less allow something as massive as this. But there's a few things we certainly can say to help us make sense of this great mystery of evil in God's good field. The first is to realize how many people in this world come to God at a late hour. There are a lot of late bloomers out there. I myself did a baptism once in the hospital of an 83-year-old man who'd never found God, and God bless his soul, he received the grace to find him at the very end. And then I did another emergency baptism, a woman maybe 40, dying from an aggressive cancer, just enough sense and reason to be able to call the priest and speak to him, and I found out that she had lived a life of deep sin and sowed some wild oats, and she was scared of the judgment. God bless her. She received the grace from God. She was baptized by my very hand and died 3 days later. These souls went straight to heaven, and they would not have if God had not been patient. It's a story of so many of the saints when you think about it. Mary Magdalene, St. Augustine, St. Paul, Camillus de Lellis, Vincent de Paul, Teresa of Avila, Ignatius of Loyola. There's many, many saints who only found their way to God at the very end. And God is patient simply because he wants to bring in as many people into the kingdom as he possibly can. Heaven is so good, and hell is so bad, that God will go to great, great lengths to save even one. And if you're ever wrestling with the question of why God is patient, why doesn't he just smite all the evildoers and zap them out of the world, can you honestly pray about this question? Are you so sure that if God was as strict with you as you expect him to be with others, are you so sure you'd still be standing at the end of the day? Probably not, if you're honest with yourself. And that's at least one reason. Here's another. In God's mysterious power and providence, he allows evil to make the good shine forth all the more brightly. You know, back my last assignment, I built a church down in Fredericksburg. And we were trying to place some gilding, some golden accents into the sanctuary, and I had to turn to the architect and say, where's the best place to put our beautiful gold accents? And if you know anything about designing, you know the very best place for beautiful highlights is against a dark background. And God's very much like that. In a mysterious way, the power of evil, which we see as a terrible shadow in this world, is going to highlight the beauty of holiness all the more and for all eternity, and you will praise God for it if it weren't for the cowardice of a Pontius Pilate or the cruelty of a Roman soldier. We would not know just how beautiful is the love and the holiness of Christ. We wouldn't even have a redemption, at least not in the way we know. If not for the cruelty of the tyrant, you'd never see the holiness of the martyr. I promise you, you're going to praise God for all eternity because of this. But in the meantime, we need to stand fast. And here's a third reason. Here's one to really pray about. It's when you realize that evil has no power whatsoever to stop the power of good. We like to restrain our efforts to do good and make up excuses. Convenient excuses. You say, well, you know, if it wasn't for this person or that situation, what good wouldn't I do? Well, part of the message of this parable is that even now, evil has zero power to stop the power of good. The weeds do not prevent even one stalk of wheat from growing up ripe and healthy and whole. As the old adage says, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of one single candle. Thomas More once said, there are never times so bad that a good man cannot live in them. Something to pray about. Because massive and immediate change is just not God's style. Impatience is an ongoing temptation, and we have to be very, very careful not to give in to it. Deep within our hearts is a temptation to give in to a Pharisaical impulse, because it's much, much easier to be God's enforcer than it is to be God's disciple. Much easier to point an accusing finger about how everybody else needs to change instead of pointing one honestly at yourself. While we hear this parable, we need to focus our lives on uprooting the weeds out of our own hearts. It's the only place in which you possibly can. But don't worry. God's justice is perfect. There will be a judgment, and you will not be disappointed. But in the meantime, Our Lord asks us to stand firm in faith and to pray about the words of the Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Amen.